What an awesome moment, Pat. Friday morning, we finally caught up. I know it's been a couple of years, and I get you on the podcast, man. Talk hoops, you know, your upcoming team. Last season, you was grinding it out, had some injuries, but you prevailed. You know, you shocked still some people. Some games that you won, it where you where the guys was like, man, we're down. You know, what a couple guys. I remember Laporte. You had like six guys. Take me back when you guys have the opportunity to host the Laporte Invitational in Laporte, Indiana. And it was a packed house.
Yeah, know what the so last year was the second year we've run the Laporte Invitational, you know, working with our you know, the Mayor Dermody and the Visitors Bureau to bring the NIBC event there. And year one was a great success, and year two was even better. You know, because we kind of had our bearings down and knew exactly what we were doing for the most part. And year three is going to be even better. But you know, when you're getting ready for that event, obviously you'd like to be at full strength, and we were not, you know. But still a great event regardless. You know, we become the local team. We are the local team, so everyone shows out, and I was really proud of how our guys competed. You know, we had two tough games. Once again, one against Wasatch, and then on Saturday night we played Long Island Lutheran. Both games kind of came down to the final minute. We were able to go 1-1 in those games. But just such a great atmosphere. Our guys, they love playing in that environment. You know, feeding off our student body and their energy, and then feeding off just the energy that's in that gym. Because the LaPorte Civic Auditorium, as you know, Rico, is kind of like an old historic gym built in the
Yeah.
1920s. You know, it's a throwback gym. It's what you think of when you think of, you know, Indiana high school basketball. It's in an auditorium. You
Yeah.
got the stage at one end. You got tight baselines, really no, or tight sidelines, really no place for people to sit down on the court side, and everyone's elevated above you. But it makes for a great atmosphere for 3 days of high school basketball.
I give it the Who's a Hysteria vibes when I was coming up in high school and we had to play at the Hickory Gym.
Yeah.
I forgot where it's located, but it was in that same environment, like that old school Hoosier feel. And I told some of my colleagues at Paragon and in NIBC, like, this is like true Indiana basketball where everyone come out, you know, watch these great matchups. If you could name some of the schools that, you know, LaLu brings to LaPorte, Indiana, some of these high major programs.
Yeah, no. So from a conference standpoint, you know, we've had Montverde, right, Academy out of Florida, IMG Academy, Oak Hill Academy, Sunrise Christian Academy, Arizona Compass, Long Island Lutheran, Wasatch, Legacy Early College. So you get programs from coast to coast, some of the best high school basketball programs in the country. And the fun thing is, like, people in our area get to see these kids as high school players, and these guys go on and play in NCAA tournaments, Final Fours. And we've had, you know, been fortunate enough that kids from our conference have gone on to get drafted and play in the NBA. So I think last year alone, you know, you had Grady Dick from Sunrise Christian, Jalen Huccefino, Jairus Walker, Keontae George. I'm trying to, Juwan Howard's son, Jets, who's at
Yeah.
IMG. Like, those are all kids that were playing at 17, 18 years old in the Civic Auditorium. And, you know, they were all first round picks this past year. So it's kind of cool for, you know, that talent to be in this area in the month of January playing high school basketball.
I agree. What, how long you been a coach at Lalamere?
So this is my 10th year at the school. My first 3 years, I was an assistant coach for Shane Hireman, who's now the head coach at Incarnate Word, which is a Division I down in San Antonio, Texas. And then this is my 7th year as the head coach. So, you know, it's been a quick 10 years. You know, when you first start out, you know, you kind of get the lay of the land, get to know the school, get to know the students here, get to figure out, you know, the kids and personalities that fit our school and fit our program. And then every year you kind of just tweak it and try to build on it and try to, you know, make it better than it was the year before.
What didn't you know before now that you're the head coach at Lalamere and
Know
lead the
what?
whole Wolf Pack?
Know what? It's I look back at it and it's like, man, I was a really terrible head coach when I first got the job, right? Like, every year you get better, but I got the job when I was 27, which is relatively young if you think about a 27-year-old leading, you know, 16 to 18-year-old and trying to help them become young men.
Absolutely.
It's like that's a challenge in and of itself. And like I said, Shane, the guy, head coach I worked for, he did a great job of kind of laying the foundation and showing me the ropes and instilling confidence in me that I was good enough to do it. But, you know, I think about what I was my first year as head coach to where I am now, you know, seventh year as a head coach. It's like, man, I messed up a lot of things. And then, you know, you work to not repeat said mistake. But, you know, like I think back to the year we lost the championship game, my second year as head coach. It's like, if I had that team all over again, we could have.
Who were some of those players?
We had Isaiah Stewart, Keon Brooks, Paxson Wojcik, Gerald Drumgoole, Wendell Green. That was kind of like our starting five. And all five of those guys went on to play high major basketball. But it's like, yeah, I sometimes, you know, you can't live in the past, but you think about, okay, if I could have redone it, you know, and I was now, if I was coaching that team and had 6 years of coaching experience under my belt, things could have played out a little differently. Now it's hard to nitpick about going 30-1 and losing in a championship right. game, but those are kind of the things that sometimes you think about just in passing that just randomly pop in. It's like, man, I messed that up as a 28-year-old and now it's 33. It's like, okay, it's totally different.
You're in the pilot seat now, right? And you got to deal with a lot of turbulence day in and day out. You know, it's the nature of the job, nature of the business, but you get these five-star recruits to, you know, come on campus and you highlight LaPorte and Indiana itself, which is extremely dope. But talk about your staff and how instrumental they play a part in your everyday life.
Yeah, no, it's a giant group effort, right? Like it's, I always tell everyone it's not my program. You know, I've obviously been blessed to be the head coach and be the leader. But the program belongs to our school, right? It's our school's program. They had a vision when they started this, I think 14 years ago. And we've had a lot of talented and high character kids that have come through these doors and been a part of the program to get it to where it is now. But when I think about our coaching staff, you know, Brian Tonino's been here. He was a student manager here as a, you know, junior and senior here when the program first started. So it's great to kind of get his input and advice of what it was like when, you know, we first started this thing. And, you know, we'd go to events and people couldn't pronounce our school name properly. You know, now that's no longer the case. But he's been here. Let's see. This is his eighth year as an assistant coach, and he's done a great job of, you know, he knows the school, going out and identifying kids that fit our program. And then from a, you know, marketing standpoint, he's done a great job of getting our stuff out there, helping build our content and build our brand. And then he's just a guy that I can talk to, you know, when things aren't going well and, you know, when we need to make adjustments and, you know, planning out the season, building the team, you know, he's just, he knows it. So, you know, he's been great. And then Chris Conrad is our other assistant coach. This is year, got to think here, Rico. I think this is year five for Chris.
Yeah, yeah, he's a veteran.
Yep. So he's been here for a minute and he, you know, high energy guy, now does a great job of connecting and building the relationships with the guys. But he came to us when, you know, he left a very successful training business in the Chicagoland area. And he's also working, you know, coaching travel basketball with the Illinois Wolves out of Chicago. And he's done a great job of, you know, leading the player development and helping our guys get better. And same thing, helping identify and recruit guys that fit our school and fit our program.
That's awesome to hear. And obviously I'm up the street, right? I'm from the region, Northwest Indiana. And we used to play Lalamere back in the day when I was at Bowman and Marvin Ray, rest his soul, was still alive. And
yep.
We would compete against Sandy Marsh Chuse, and obviously Lalamere wasn't the powerhouse that it was then and what it is now, you know, fast forward. And just seeing the success and being in Indiana, it's a dope thing to see from a former, you know, athlete to now covering basketball and film and watching film 24/7. This year, right, it's a whole new makeup of the team, and I love to learn about the adversity that coaches go through. You know, what was your mindset or what was your reflection from last year that you consistently, or if you still think about last season now that you have a whole new makeup and projected to be like top five in the country, you know, in some outlets?
Yeah, and what we, a lot of it last year just comes down to me, right? Like, and as the, you know, head man, you gotta own when things aren't going well. And I don't think I did a good enough job of putting our team in positions to succeed. So we finished 19-10 last year. Out of those 10 losses, 8 of those games, we were tied or had a lead with 2 minutes left in the game, right? So, you know, we weren't great at the end of the game, and that falls squarely on me. So when we went into the offseason and kind of preparing to build a team for this current year, You know, a big area for us was making sure we had great depth, you know, because last year we had injuries and, you know, kid transfer out in November last year. So there are moments we were down to six guys, six healthy guys, I should say. And it's tough to compete and play in that conference when you only have six bodies. I mean, if you look at the leaders for minutes played in the conference last year, the top three guys were all our guys. You got, right. I think, I don't know if Trent Walters came out of a game. You had Trent Walters at 32 minutes a game, and then Caleb Glenn and Zay Lowry were at 31 minutes a game. High school games, you know, were 32 minutes. So these guys, right. They weren't getting breaks. So they were all warriors. They battled. They worked as hard as they could to put our team in the position to succeed. Forever indebted to those guys for doing that. But we needed to get really good depth, especially on the perimeter. You know, you need to have talented guards. They make you better coaches. You know, you got really talented guard play. You got a chance to have a really great year. And so we went out and found guys, like I said, that fit our school, fit our program. We run seven new guys, two seniors, so two kids in the 24 class and two juniors, or sorry, five juniors. And every guy brings something a little different to the table. You know, they all work hard, but, you know, from the perimeter aspect, we got a lot of guys that can make shots, a lot of guys that know how to play out of the ball screen, a lot of good decision makers. And then the lone big man we brought in, Steve Solano, is a 7-footer who's mobile, can block shots. He can go put pressure on the rim. And he's just, you know, continually to get better every single day. But yeah, we needed to bring in seven new guys, to get us back into a healthy roster spot where we had good depth for our practices and workouts. We're extremely competitive. But you know, as wear and tear and the grind of the season takes hold,
right.
You know, you got to be able to have enough depth to compete against Montverde and IMGs of the world.
What are you most looking forward to about this season? Is it the LaPorte Invitational? Was there a certain game with the personnel you have to compete, you know, obviously against the IMGs and the Montverdes? What specific game are you looking forward to this season? Or is there an event that you enjoy playing at most?
Yeah, I think the event we enjoy playing in the most is, you know, the LaPorte Invite, right? That's like our favorite one. You know, we work closely with, like I said, the Visitors Bureau of LaPorte County and the mayor's office, to get everything in place to make it, you know, the best event that it could possibly be. And all the feedback from opposing coaches and teams has been nothing but positive. So I think that one's always definitely circled on our schedule, at being the home team. But other than that, man, our guys are just ready to compete. You know, it's like that's what they're here for. You know, our seniors have had a really good fall, and their recruitment is on the uptick, which is what we love to see. And then our juniors, we got a very talented junior class. You know, we got six really good juniors. So excited to kind of see those guys in their development this year. And then obviously kind of, you know, helping them get ready for their senior year as well. So I think just seeing the development from August to now, and then from now until the first game, November 3rd, and then from there, it's nice to kind of just see that growth and development. But I really like this group because it's a very cohesive group. They all enjoy hanging out with each other, spending time with each other, but they've also done a great job of, you know, embracing the Lalamere community and spirit.
What type of coach and personality is Pat Holmes? For those listening and, you know, they're hearing about all the behind the scenes and how you started, but how would you describe yourself as a coach?
You know, I stole this from Coach Bray at Notre Dame. It's like he said, you always want to be the coach that you'd want your son or daughter to play for, right? So, you know, first and foremost, I got into coaching because I love basketball. I love working with, you know, youth and helping people get better. You know, when I was a manager at Notre Dame as an undergrad, I was just always out there rebounding and working out guys, you know, because I was just a gym rat, you know. I love doing that. I love helping others get better. But we're educators, you know. We work in a high school here, and we're educating and helping develop, you know, young adults. So first and foremost, that's my mentality. We're teachers here. So if you come to our practices and workouts, there's a lot of teaching. So we teach it, we drill it, then we compete. You know, that's kind of how we break down, you know, our practices and workouts. And then, you know, we're going to hold people accountable and tell them the truth. That's the thing we always tell kids and families when we're recruiting them. It's like, we're not going to sugarcoat anything. You know, we're going to get after you. We're going to tell you the truth. We're going to tell you the things you really got to work on. We want to be really good at the fundamentals and the simple things. You know, that's, we don't try to reinvent the wheel here. We're trying to just help our guys get prepared for life in college. You know, you played at Rico, you know what that's like. It's a different animal going from high school to college. So these guys got to learn to, you know, take care of everything, like in terms of doing their classwork, right? Being places on time, being in the weight room on time, being in class on time, being in the study hall on time. You know, we're not going to hold your hand. We're going to help you kind of build the habits that you need to be successful. That's our job as coaches. Once these guys leave campus here, you know, that they're ready to make an impact as a freshman at their college. And that's not just on the court. That's in the weight room, in the community, in the classroom, in the dorm. You know, help these guys become bigger self-advocates for themselves.
I saw the now it makes perfect sense when there's a wet spot on the floor and you go and you wipe it off, right? The whole team manager characteristics. I didn't know that. I didn't know you was a team manager at Notre Dame.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough to be there for 3 years. But, yeah, the thing is you can't be above anything, right? So it's like right. We have student managers here, you know, and typically in the early part of the year they're playing another sport, whether it be soccer, cross country, tennis. So, yeah, it's me, Brian, Chris, you know, during practices we got towels on our shoulders. We're getting out there, wiping out the sweat. But, yeah, you can't be above anything here. You know, it's like everyone wears a bunch of different hats here at our school. And it's just whatever it takes to be successful, right? You're helping a program and helping serve other people. And our guys do a good job of that as well, right? It's not just the coaches serving our players. Our players are helping serve, you know, other students and the community at large.
The fan base you guys have too, not to mention during the LaPorte Invitational was fantastic. Lalu Jesus is the guy that stands out to me the most. And I don't know what relationship you guys have, but if you could talk about the spirit of Lalu and, you know, obviously during basketball season, it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. And what we got, our school's about 200 kids, right? So it's a very tight knit community. Everyone knows everyone. But it all comes down to, you know, we have some gear and we tweet out Lalu family, right? That's what we're going for with our school here. And we're a little different than other high schools in the area because we have a boarding element, right? We have 120 day students and about 80 kids that live on campus. But our guys, to their credit, they do a great job of not just being basketball players, right? It's important for us, for our guys to get to know other students in the community outside of basketball, whether it be their roommates or their dorm mates, classmates, whatever it may be. And our guys are out there supporting boys and girls soccer teams, the volleyball teams in the fall. But it's a genuine encounter. That's a big thing for us, right? Our students are getting to genuinely know each other and know who each other is. And I think that's why you see the passionate fan base and support, you know, when we do host a big event. And it's been that way since I got here. You know, it's just a special place where everyone takes care of everyone and everyone looks after everyone.
What was the message? You got a couple of kids that hit the plane yesterday to go to the USA Invitational. And what is it, in Colorado, correct?
In Colorado Springs. It's the mini camp there for freshmen through seniors of high school.
What was the message you gave the guys, and who are they?
Yeah, we're fortunate to have three guys out there. So we got Jalen Harrelson, Jerry Easter, and Darius Adams. Jalen and Jerry have been there before. Darius is the first time. So first message, just enjoy the experience, right? Have fun. You're out there with a bunch of guys that you know. It's a great basketball environment. And the second one is just compete, right? Right? Keep it simple. Compete. Work hard every play, every possession, every drill, right? Don't be too cool. Don't chill. And see where that leads you, right? It's a, you know, let's see. Games or practices start today. So let's say Fridays. So they go hard for 3 days, right? Have fun, enjoy it, get the most out of the experience, ask questions, right? Be a sponge. But yeah, biggest thing, and it's a big part of our program, is compete. You know, it doesn't matter where you are. Anytime you lace them up and you're on the floor, you're competing to get better.
Last two questions I have, and then, you know, we'll wrap it up, is you have Rayfield Davis too. Again, tying this back to LaPorte Invitational and have an opportunity to have Rayfield as a colleague from a former teammate, yeah, right? Known him all my life, but he was also a Lalu alum, right?
Yep.
Transfer from Southside. What did that mean, or what was your thoughts when you saw Ray on the sidelines, you know, being a Lalu alum and, you know, representing Lalu and covering the Big Ten and all of those things?
Yeah, you know what? So I wasn't fortunate enough to be here when Ray was here. You know, when I first got here, you hear all the great stories about Ray and the impact he had and all the great things he did at Purdue. And that, you know, this guy was set up for success once basketball stopped, you know, just a professional through and through. But it's always exciting to kind of see our former players once the basketball stops bouncing and when they enter the professional field, you know, the success they have, you know, because we're not we're not shocked, right? Because these guys come here, they work hard, they take care of business. You know, they're typically leaders. So Ray doing the TV stuff, you know, being back and working the sidelines for the NIBC games is just cool. It's like a full circle moment of, wow, Ray was here kind of right when this program started, had its infancy. And now to see him kind of calling games, flip on the Big Ten Network, he's an analyst. You know, it's credit to him, his work ethic, and him, you know, really working at his craft. But then him also, you know, being able to talk to our guys after our game against Wasatch Academy last year.
That's awesome.
Special, you know, it's special for us to be able to have that opportunity. And, you know, Ray, he tells guys what it is, you know.
He pretty straightforward.
He played for great coach and Matt Painter. And Ray was Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. So he's got that grit and toughness to him. But it's one thing for the guys to hear from me. It's another thing for the guys to hear from Ray. So Ray's been so great with his time and giving to our guys.
Anthony Solomon, coach, that is, Coach Anthony Solomon. He's a great mentor of mine. And I want to shout out Brian Rogers for connecting me with him. But, you know, he was former coach at Notre Dame, and I saw he was just on campus. What was the message he gave to the guys? Hopefully they took away something from it, because Coach Solomon is a hell of a guy, and I have much respect for him.
Yeah, so I've known Slo for about 24 years, right when he first started at Notre Dame back in 2001. He was on Coach Bray's first staff at Notre Dame. And Slo has been a great, great family friend, great mentor. You know, when a student manager at Notre Dame, Slo was an assistant coach there. But, you know, he's kind of in a year off right now. He's used to being on a sideline for the last 35 years as a college coach. But he's been having the ability to get out and see practices and workouts, colleges, NBA. And, you know, we've been grateful to have him out here two or three times watching our workouts. But this past time we had him speak to the guys. And he just kind of hits them with three or four kind of major points about the upcoming year and what it would take for our guys to not only grow individually, but to grow collectively as a group. You know, and he talked about communication, you know, in terms of how we all got to communicate and connect with each other and have, you know, be purposeful and meaningful with our talk. Talked about spacing. You know, that was when he was there. That was one of our points of emphasis in terms of transition and spacing and offensive spacing in the half court, what we wanted to look like, and kind of just hammered home some of the points that we were talking about and, you know, added a thing or two. And then one of the other things he just talked about, just kind of the executing the fundamentals, right? We were working on ball screen passing and dropping that pocket pass. And he noticed that guys were playing up a little too high and telling them you got to play a little bit lower. So he just has a great message with the guys. You know, he's worked with guys all different levels of college game, guys that have been able to, you know, make it to the NBA. So he's seen anything and everything, you know, at the collegiate level. So to have a guy like that kind of in our backyard who's willing to give of his time and come watch and work with our guys a little bit is awesome.
Well, Coach, I appreciate it. You know, thank you for your time and good luck this season. I'm excited. I'll be on the sidelines rooting for you, filming, of course, trying to make sure you guys have the most coverage as possible, just like the rest of our NIBC teams, right? We watch film all day. So being a junkie of basketball and being able to watch you coach is pretty cool thing. You know, I have one of the coolest jobs in the world, and I don't take it for granted. So I really appreciate it.
No, we appreciate you, Rico, and everything you do for the conference and for our school. Like I said, I know you're 45 minutes down the road, so appreciate you coming out. And, you know, one of these home games, always just getting content for our guys. You know, it doesn't go unnoticed. And, you know, we owe you a lot for all you do for the conference and for our program. So appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.